Now, the Irish government has signalled its intention to acquire fighter jets to accompany a new primary defence radar system to protect Irish airspace. Defence Minister Simon Harris has said the process would not be a short one, but just how long would it take for new pilots to be trained on the aircraft to operate them in fighter training and interception mode? And what are the implications for the size and structure of the future Irish Air Corps? Kevin Phipps is a former Irish Air Corps pilot joining us now. And Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Mary, and thanks for having me on.
Look, we know we're starting from a very low base here, but what do we rely on at the moment to protect our airspace?
Well, at the moment, the Air Corps doesn't have any fast jets. So we basically don't have any capability to intercept any fast-moving aircraft, which would be at high altitude. So, for instance, the likes of a Russian bomber tracking down the West Coast or a surveillance aircraft, or even maybe an airline that might be in distress. So we don't have supersonic jets that most other nations would have for this purpose.
So
Go on.
Yeah, no. So supersonic jets, fighter jets, is that what we need?
Yeah, exactly. That's the benchmark for being able to intercept aircraft that are travelling at high speed, at high altitude. We also don't have a primary military radar system. So what we rely on at the moment really is the civilian secondary surveillance radar system, which only allows us to see the aircraft that are obliged to tell us that they're actually out there. What a primary military radar system would allow us to do is see the threats that might exist that don't want to be seen. So if I could maybe use the analogy of standing in a barn at nighttime, there might be a little swarm of mosquitoes in the barn, but you can't see them because it's dark. So what we really need to do is to drive a tractor into the barn and turn on all the lights so we can see everything that's in the barn. But at the moment, we're standing in the middle of the barn with our eyes closed. But I think with the changing scenario now in the world's security environment, that we're starting to open our eyes and we're starting to realise that we actually do need to turn on the headlights.
Okay, and thank you for that very simple and straightforward explanation of where we're at and what we need. How many of these, well, you need, first of all, you're saying this primary military radar system, and then how many jets?
Well, the benchmark would be a squadron, which would be in the region of 12 to 14 aircraft, and that would give you the capability to have constantly two aircraft on standby for what would be called quick reaction alert, which would be scrambling the fighter jets towards a target. But it would also give you the capability to do concurrent training and continuity training for your pilots. So, you know, if you look to the Czech Republic, they lease a squadron of 14 Swedish fighter aircraft. So in and around 12 to 14 aircraft would be the benchmark for a squadron of fighter jets.
Now, I'm not going to get involved here with you in any sort of discussion about neutrality and the implications for neutrality and so on. I want to concentrate on, if you like, an information gathering exercise here. So 12 to 14 jets, how many pilots, where do we train them, and how long does it take to train up a pilot to operate these jets?
Well, if you had a school leaver or somebody leaving college who wanted to become a fighter pilot, if they walked in the gate of Baldonnell, they could be looking at up to 4 years from not knowing how to fly an aircraft to being a fighter pilot. Okay, so it is quite a considerable length of time. In terms of numbers, if you look to the Czech Republic, they operate their fleet of 14 aircraft with 25 pilots. And indeed, you'd need other support staff for your radar systems and your technical appointments as well, and the management of all that of all your air defence system. It is quite a considerable length of time, you know.
If you took considerable a pilot, time, and Kevin, and considerable amounts of money as well. I've seen it said that Shannon could be the base for such a fleet. But just tell me something. If we have, say we have a fleet of 12 or 14 jets, they're on the ground in some place like Shannon Airport, what do they do every day?
Well, you would have typically two aircraft standing by, ready to scramble, and you might have a number of aircraft that would be under routine maintenance or maybe heavy maintenance that wouldn't be available to fly that day. But then you'd also have a number of aircraft that would be training your replacement pilots, but also doing concurrent training. So again, using an analogy of our helicopter rescue service, we have helicopters dotted around the country, but they don't sit on the ground all day, every day, waiting for the call. They're always out concurrently training also. So that would take up an awful lot of time. And that's why you need multiple aircraft in a squadron to be allow you to do all those jobs concurrently.
Have you run the numbers on this? What are we talking about in terms of a financial commitment?
Again, looking to an international comparator, I use the Czech Republic. They lease their fleet of aircraft from Sweden, and they're paying in a region of 70 million euros a year and have been doing that since 2005. I mean, if you do run the numbers on it, it effectively works out to what we're paying for our fabulous helicopter search and rescue service.
About the same again.
About the same again, yeah. Now, there would be capital investment in the airfield wherever those fighters would be based. And there's also capital investment required in the radar and, significantly, the command and control center required to support the information you're receiving from the radar picture.
It's a very interesting picture you paint. And Kevin, thank you for giving us all the detail there. That's Kevin Phibbs, a former Irish Air Corps pilot, joining us.